either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مبارك وهدى للعالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. MashaAllah, our Dars team that is regular on a Friday all the time is very special to the heart. And Alhamdulillah, lots of dua was made for the people who are very, very regular. For many, many years they have been coming now, Alhamdulillah, and have benefiting from the different topics that we have covered. Lots of dua was made for them. And also salatu was salam was given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on their behalf. And so we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of barakat for them in this dunya and also in the hereafter. Inshallah, in our session tonight, before we look into a topic, I wanted to complete the subject that we touched on this Jumu'ah. And we touched on a very important subject, covering some of the history of Makkatul Mukarramah, and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah a label that you are the best of the best. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best of the best people, the best community from all of the communities that have come. And so everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this ummah is the best, which includes the two beautiful cities, Makkah Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwarah. Just to quickly recap, the blessings and the barakat of Makkah Mukarramah, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had explained to us how this dunya came into existence, how Allah created this world. And he said, before the creation of this world, this dunya for 1,000 years was filled with water. This dunya for 1,000 years was filled with water. Even today we see the ocean that surrounds this world. When I say this dunya, what I mean is dry land, the land that we live in. And so for 1,000 years everything was covered by water, except for the city of Makkah Mukarramah. In the city of Makkah there is one location where the Kaaba is standing today. That section had above sea level white froth. It had white froth that was visible, that was above sea level. And underneath this white froth was a small section of land, a portion of land. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is from this portion of land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this dunya. And so that this dunya was stretched in all the different corners of the world, and the water was pushed outside. The water was pushed outside. Allah does not give permission to the ocean to come this side. until Allah wills, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for it to come. Of course, sometimes this dunya, this the earth that we live in is hit with a calamity, tsunami. That is different. But generally, subhanallah, the animals of the jungle, they have their own residence. Insan has its own area. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this entire dunya from that one section. And then from that one section where this area was, that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also given an order to Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, and the construction of the Kaaba is there. So the Kaaba is the middle path and the middle section of this entire dunya, the dunya that we live in. That is why one meaning of Kaaba is the middle section. Kaaba means the middle part, the middle section. So just like how you have the navel, like you have the navel, Baytullah is the navel of this dunya. Baytullah is the navel of this dunya. And then to explain, later on, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wassalam down in this dunya. So Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, when he came in this dunya, subhanallah, I did talk about this also in the nikah session, that the wife and the husband were separated. The wife and the husband were separated. But when Adam alayhi salam was informed that he will be going to dunya, which is completely different to Jannat, he found it very, very difficult. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him a gift. Allah gave him a gift. That just to keep you happy and just to make you feel content that you have something of Jannah also with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Hazrat Adam alayhi salam Hajarul Aswad. The Hajar-e Aswad, the black stone, what we know today, that Hajar-e Aswad came down in this dunya with Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came down, and then he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this dunya is also very ajeeb, because he was the first man, no other human beings around him. So he said, I feel very lonely, and what I miss is the tasbih, the zikr of the malaika. Because in Jannah, he could hear the tasbih of the malaika, the angels that were doing tasbih continuously. So he was actually missing that. And so he says, Bari Ta'ala, that I can't hear. And I don't see anyone doing tawaf of your house, tawaf of a building, which he would see that the malaika were doing tawaf of a building which is known as Baytul Ma'mur. Baytul Ma'mur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, I want you to go to a certain location, and there you have to build the house of Allah, the sacred building. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him ishara. In the riwayat, it comes that he was accompanied by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had taken Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to Makkah Mukarrama. When he got to Makkah Mukarrama, the city, the very exact location where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the foundation for Baytullah, Kaaba Sharif. In one narration, it comes that the entire Baytul Ma'mur came down, and it was visible to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi Adam alayhi salam, that this is the marking of Baytullah Sharif also of this dunya. Look at Baytul Ma'mur and look at Baytullah of this dunya. And so with that marking, mashallah, the foundation was laid of Baytullah Sharif. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, you do the tawaf of the Kaaba, and you also perform your salah in this direction. So mashallah, this became the very first Qibla. This became the very first Qibla. And that is why the first construction of Baytullah Sharif was at the hands of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. And Adam alayhi salam also put the stone, Hajar, that he came with from Jannah, Hajarul Aswad, very, very close to Baytullah Sharif. He put it there. So it was part of Baytullah Sharif. Now this remained for a long period of time until Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, until the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. Now when the time of Nuh alayhi salatu was salam came, of course we know the very famous event that took place during his time is the flood. And during the time of the flood, in one narration it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had uplifted the walls of Baytullah Sharif that was constructed by Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam, and Hazrat Jibreel had put the black stone, Hajar-e-Aswad, on a mountain which is known as Jabal-e-Abu Qubais. So the black stone was actually preserved in another mountain which is called Jabal-e-Abu Qubais. And the structure of it was uplifted. Thereafter, there was only the foundation. So now what would happen is that a lot of people knew that this is where Adam alayhi salatu was salam had built Baytullah Sharif, but there was no visible walls, there was no structure to it. And so people would just go there and they would perform salah and they would make dua. This continued all the way until the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Until the time of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam came in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took great khidmat from him and his son Ismail alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to reconstruct the Kaaba upon the foundation of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. The foundation which was laid down by Adam alayhi salam when he built the Kaaba. So at the same foundation, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had also reconstructed and built the foundation. And again, Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam was there. So the exact location and the marking was given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. MashaAllah, we know of this. Now, another great mu'ajiza which was visible at that time. Understand the city of Makkah. Why is the city of Makkah is so important to the Muslimin? When Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was constructing the walls of Baytullah Sharif, the walls, when it got higher than his height, when the walls got higher than his height, of course in those days the living was very, very simple. And so Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, it was only two of them at that time, he found it very difficult to reach on the top part of the walls of Kaaba. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam another great mu'ajiza. And that mu'ajiza was in the form of this slate. A slate was given to him. A stone or a slate. But it was like a slate that was given to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Of course it was a stone, but it was very, very flat. And this stone came in front of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, and it started flying around and it started like doing the tawaf of the Kaaba and telling Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam that Allah has sent me to serve you. Allah Pak has sent me to serve you. Today we have not got this technology also. Have we got this technology? So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, it came round flying and then it got towards the feet of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, as if it was asking Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah has given the command that you should step on me. That you should step on me. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam would step on this slate, this maqam. That is why it is called maqam, maqam Ibrahim. The platform that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would step on it with both of his feet on it, it is said that it would become very, very naram, very, very soft. And the reason for that is to give comfort to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Otherwise, to stand on a stone, on a rock, it can be painful for hours. So for a Nabi, every comfort is given. So this slate was very, very soft. Very, very soft. And so it was as if he was standing in something that was like a sponge. And that would actually give comfort to the heel of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama have mentioned, not only was it comfortable, but what was very, very important, it was also something which gave complete safety to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he wanted to stand. Otherwise, imagine, to stand on something without a support. To stand on something without a support. Sometimes you can fall. We see all of these very lofty buildings. You need giant cranes. Giant cranes. And when I met some of the engineers that were there in Makkah Mukarramah, when they were actually building these hotels that you can see of how many floors, so high, lofty buildings. And he was telling me that hundreds of people have died. Hundreds of people have died and they fell from the building. Upar bichare. So many people are working, and in working, accidents happen and they fall and they die. Fall and they die. So safety is something that is very, very important. So for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, this platform was such that he would stand on it and it would give him the strength and the balance to stand on it properly. And then slowly it would uplift Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Ulama have said another mu'ajiza was also the block of bricks would come to him immediately. He would hold it and he would continue doing the building with his son, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Today the world has not seen this technology. Have we seen this technology? I'm not sure. That somebody can stand on something and that you can actually fly with it. We've got the segways and, you know, people doing tawaf, but all that you can't do. They wanted to introduce all sorts, subhanallah. But the technology is not there. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was given this honor. So this stone actually was the mu'jiza of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is called Maqame Ibrahim. Now even after 4,000 years plus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved this maqam. In every kind of weather, hot, very, very hot weather, rainy weather, storm, whatever, this stone has been preserved, and it has been preserved in such a way that until today it has, mashallah, the footprint of a great Nabi, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Quran. Allah says, "Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nas allazi bi-Bakkata mubaraka wa hudan lil-alamin fihi ayatun bayyinat," that in the city of Makkah there are clear signs. And what are the clear signs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Maqamu Ibrahim. Maqamu Ibrahim is a great sign. It is a symbol. And then in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, that make the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam a place of worship. A place of worship. Now, just for us to understand the mas'ala, why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given this ummah the command that, sit down, ek iska bachcha hai, sit down, isko bithao, mashallah. So, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى, that make the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam a place of salah, a place of salah. What is the hikmat? What is the wisdom of this, that you are to perform your salah behind Maqam Ibrahim? And remember, this was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of the times Allah's Nabi would perform his salah behind the maqam. And that is why our scholars say also that after your tawaf, the two rakats wajib, it is a good practice, It's not farz, it is not wajib. It is a good practice for a person to pray the two rakats behind maqame Ibrahim, because this was the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this maqam a place as a musalla? The ulama have mentioned so that we don't forget the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We don't forget the sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's qurbani is immense. If you look at his life, the difficulty that he went through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the people of this ummah that read your namaz behind maqame Ibrahim so that you don't forget the sacrifice of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now, another point of wisdom, why we pray behind maqame Ibrahim. Maqame Ibrahim has got the footprint of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now why footprints? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have given us the amama of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the asa of Ibrahim alayhi salam, maybe one kurta of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, maybe the miswak of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Anything that He wanted, Allah could have preserved it. Anything could have been given. But on this platform, on this rock, you have the footprint of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the wisdom? The wisdom the scholars have mentioned is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the ummah that success will only come when you follow the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When you follow the footsteps of the messengers, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Today, if you don't follow the footsteps of a Nabi, then insan will go on the wrong path. Insan will go on the wrong path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allahu Akbar. So following the footsteps of a Nabi is very important. And the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam are there. Not the footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? What is the hikmat? The hikmat is, my respected brothers, that actually following Ibrahim alayhi salam is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And following Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is following Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But because out of respect and honor, he is the father figure of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so the footprint of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has been given to this ummah. Otherwise, following Ibrahim alayhi salam is following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Why? Because when he completed the construction of Baytullah Sharif, he made a dua and he said, Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasula. O Allah, send a Nabi to the people of Makkah. He made a dua for who? For the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, when we look at maqam Ibrahim, though it is the footprint of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the footprint are there because he is the father figure of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that ikram and takreem is given to him. But in reality, it is following the footsteps of a Nabi, and that is the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is a reminder all the time that a person can never achieve anything in this world unless he is going to follow the footsteps of a Nabi. And that is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have to follow Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Following him is following Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. My respected brothers, you know, we should not feel very confident with ourselves, thinking that, you know, we have all the knowledge. This mind is very ajeeb. This mind is very, very ajeeb. Today you will find so many people who are becoming Qadianis. What are they becoming? Qadianis. So many people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Pakistan, and Allah give himmat to Imran Khan and give him a long life, and Allah guide him to the right path also. Bichare, you know, he is trying his best, whatever. And Allah guide the leaders. It's not easy to become a leader. But you see, all sorts of people are there. And some of the ministers that have been also in Pakistan were Qadianis. What were they? Qadianis. In fact, the very existence of Bangladesh, and I'm not going into politics again, was because of the influence of the Qadianis that were there, and Pakistan and Bangladesh had to split open. So we have to be very, very careful. Our aqeedah has to be very, very careful. Our aqeedah, that is why Tawheed, the imam who did the bayan in Makkah Mukarrama during the day of Arafat, during the day of Arafat, in his khutbah, the first thing he emphasized on was Tawheed. What did he say? Tawheed. The oneness of Allah. Why Tawheed? Because Tawheed is your aqeedah. And if your Tawheed is wrong and your Risalat is wrong, then everything becomes wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us, my respected brothers. So that is why we need to understand this is something very, very important. Subhanallah al-Azim. So Makkatul Mukarrama, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, we see how the maqam of Ibrahim came, and it is what it means by the footprint is to follow the footsteps of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and that is to follow Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and to follow Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the shari'at is very, very similar. Everything about the shariat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is similar to the shariat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Then when we look at Kaaba, we have four corners to it. One is the corner of Hajar Aswad. One is the corner of, and it's called Rukne Hajar. Before it, there is another corner, it is called Rukne Yamani. Now this Rukn, from Rukne Yamani to Hajar Aswad, this zone is so precious that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in one hadith that from this Rukne Yamani to Hajar-e Aswad is Rawdatu min Riyadil Jannah. That this is also a portion of Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that. And when we actually read in that zone, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana, when we walk through that area, in the hadith it comes that there are as many as 70 Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam that are madfoon just from Rukne Yamani to Hajar Aswad. How many? 70. That is why more than 100,000 prophets came. How many? More than 100,000 prophets came. And for all of the prophets, the main central point was Baytullah Sharif. Every Nabi came to Baytullah Sharif. There is a possibility they missed out from Masjid Al-Aqsa and did not visit Sham. But every Nabi came to Baytullah, came to the Arabian Peninsula, to Bakkah, what we know as Makkah Mukarrama. So 70 Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam are actually madfoon there. We don't actually realize, my respected brothers, we are just doing tawaf of the Kaaba, but we don't know the history of it. And then, opposite to this Rukn, where you have Rukne Shami and Rukne Iraqi, the opposite side of it here, we have what we call the Hatim. What we have? The semicircle that you see. Now this semicircle, of course, has a history to it. When during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the roof of Kaaba was burnt, the Arabs, the mushrikeen of Makkah at that time decided that they will refurbish the sacred building. And so they will do that, but only with halal money. Only with halal money. Now the problem was that most of the dealings of the Quraysh would be with interest. Would be with interest. So they were so strict in this matter that they did not give any of their wealth. They had a lot of wealth, but because their money was part of the system, riba, interest. So they did not touch that money, that pot. And everything else that they had, they came and they put and they said, this is our complete 100% halal money. And this halal money was only enough to construct that half a wall that you see, the semicircle. That is there. So khair, the hikmat of that is, that semicircle is actually the residence of Hazrat Hajar. That semicircle is the residence of Hazrat Hajar. When Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam left Makkah Mukarrama and left Hazrat Hajar and Hazrat Ismail, and at that time there was no Kaaba. So she said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that you are going to leave us in this barren area where there is no water, there is no grass, there is no greenery, there is no fruit, no vegetation, and you are leaving us? He says, yes, I am leaving you. And she said, is it the order of Allah? And he said, yes. Then she said, then I have no worries because Allah will protect us. It is in that area of the Hatim that became the residence of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam and Hazrat Hajar. That is why the ulama say, if you perform your two rakats in the Hatim, it is like performing salah in Kaaba. It is like performing salah in Baytullah Sharif. Now what is amazing, that the historians have said that where the Hatim is, that is also where the wife of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Hajar is buried. This is where she is buried. So that is the mazar also of Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam. Now of course she passed away a long time ago, but that is where the mazar of Hazrat Hajar is. This is where she lived all her life, and this is where she passed away. So actually you have Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam there. And in fact some of the historians have even gone as far as saying that where Rukne Yamani is and Hajar Aswad, in that zone, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is also buried there. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is also buried there. So a lot of the prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, have come and gone, subhanallah. But again, the central part was all the time Baytullah Sharif. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that this area is full of barakat. And then my respected brothers, you have the two mountains, which is Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa. Again, Safa and Marwa is very special. The mountain of Safa was a mountain that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he had chosen to stand up, and he stood on top of the mountain of Safa, and the first call of Tawheed, the first call of Tawheed was on this mountain of Safa. That is why it's full of barakat also, if brothers can go and stand on top of Safa. I think right now Safa is completely sealed, but Marwa you can. Marwa you can actually go and stand. But Safa has been sealed. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood on Safa and he gave a call. That is why there is a narration in Musnad-e Ahmad. In Musnad-e Ahmad, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he invited them, and when they turned away from him and they said to him, Alihada jama'atana ya Muhammad, is this why you have gathered us here, O Muhammad? So that you tell us that we should worship one God, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when they rejected the call of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that if I want, I can ask Allah and Allah will turn the mountain of Safa into gold for you. But I will not make that dua because I know even if this mountain became gold for you, you will not accept Iman. You will not accept Iman. So Safa mountain, again, historically, the Quran says, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. These two mountains are the symbols of Islam. Now, subhanallah, let us go back to one important location, which is Hajar-e Aswad. Which is Hajar-e Aswad. Allah's Nabi said that this stone that comes from Jannah, it can never drown and no heat can ever burn it. No heat can ever burn it. So it will never ever drown. Now, what is the wisdom of putting Hajar-e Aswad in the corner? What is the wisdom of putting Hajar-e Aswad in the corner? Anybody knows? Quite simple. The wisdom of putting Hajar-e Aswad in the corner, remember that this stone was physically put in that corner by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then it was later on that this silver casing was put around it. But the original stone, that is still put there. It is still there. That is Hajar-e Aswad. So that it becomes easy for people to understand the starting point of tawaf. That is why it is in that corner. So first you'll see in Saudi Arabia there was a black line on the floor. And then what happened is that because of the black line, there was too much rush and a lot of people were there and doing istilam. So they decided that they will get rid of this black line so that to avoid the rush that is there. So Hajar-e-Aswad is put there because that is the starting point. That is the starting point. Now, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Hajar-e-Aswad was completely white. But now it has become very blackish. And this, it's become very dark because of the effects of the sins of the people. So the people that come to it and kiss it, and they kiss it, and because of that it has an effect. And so it was so white, more white than milk, but now it is completely black that you even call it the black stone, Hajar-e-Aswad. So what is the wisdom for something that came from Jannat for it to become black? What is the wisdom? Kya wajah hai? Why? What is the hikmat? Now my respected brothers, for us to understand, the hikmat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that this Hajar-e-Aswad that came from Jannat, which was white, that became black because of the sins of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a heart. Allah has given you a heart. Just like how Hajar-e-Aswad can become black, if you are not going to look after your heart, and if you are going to continue a life that is filled with sins, then your heart will also be sealed. Your heart will also be sealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding this ummah that if the stone can have an effect, if a stone has an effect, then imagine your heart, and your heart is the platform, subhanallah, in which your iman is stored. So it is very, very important that you maintain your heart and keep it clean and purified all the time. And so how will this heart become purified? Very simple, my respected brothers and elders. The minute you do guna, immediately thereafter do tawbah and istighfar. The minute you do guna, immediately thereafter you do guna. Like your kurta. If your kurta is dirty, put it in the washing machine or whatever, clean it. You will clean it immediately. Bhai, yahan dabba hai. What will you do? Clean it. So this actually is a reminder. This actually is a reminder that if stone can become black, then you really have to look after your heart. This is something which is very, very important for the people of Iman to understand. Sometimes what happens, we have this very carefree life, and sometimes we don't enjoy our salah. We don't enjoy sitting in the masjid. We don't enjoy listening to lectures. Why? Because the heart now is getting sealed. The heart now is becoming sealed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Another very important wisdom, my respected brothers, the wisdom, why do we kiss the black stone? Why do we kiss the black stone? What is the wisdom of kissing the black stone? Ulama have mentioned that the wisdom for kissing the black stone is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of Iman an opportunity that in that very small area, in that very small area, Allah's Nabi frequently would put his lips and kiss the black stone. All the time his habit was to kiss the black stone. And so out of barakat, the ummati is given the opportunity that you can put your lips where your Nabi's lips are. That you put your lips where your Nabi's lips are. So that barakatan where Nabi-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had kissed, that is the very location you are actually kissing. When you kiss Hajar-e-Aswad, you are kissing exactly where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had kissed the black stone. Where Hazrat Abu Bakr had kissed the black stone. Where Hazrat Umar Farooq had kissed the black stone. So there is great, great barakat. And that opens the nisbat and the connection for a person with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Otherwise, as Muslims, we don't worship the Kaaba. We don't worship the black stone by. Not at all. Subhanallah al-Azim. We don't need the Kaaba to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is wisdom. There is reasons. Subhanallah. Somebody said, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the heavens and the earth in 6 days? Why? In 6 days. If he wanted, Allah could have created in 1 second. Everything would have been done. But 6 days. Because before he created the heavens and the earth, there was other makhluk that Allah had already created. The jinns were created, the angels were created. The jinns were created and the angels were created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his makhluk everything that he created so the angels can witness it day by day. What is it? So the angels can witness it. Just like how the Quran, if Allah wanted, the whole Quran would have been revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one day. Straight, the whole Quran, no. But the Quran was revealed in a period of 23 years. Why? So that there is barakat, so that at every incident, every event, a person understands. So that the malaika were there, and they were looking at the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So alhamdulillah, there is wisdom in everything that we do in Sharia, and that Baytullah Sharif, subhanallah al-azim, is the main central parts. That is where the ruh, the soul of all of the Muslimin has been kept. And subhanallah, until the Kaaba is there, Islam will thrive. Islam will thrive and Islam will prosper. There is much more that we can talk about the history of Baytullah Sharif and everything that is around it. And today, I'm not sure if brothers have had an opportunity to actually visit where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Have you seen that place? Aapne dekha hai? It was a library, Dr. Saab. But now it's not a library. Now they have actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bas what can you say? It was actually a library. So when you look at Safa and Marwa, behind Safa and Marwa, there was a library. And that is the place where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. I remember in the 80s, that library was open and we actually went into the library. And subhanallah, you know, the barakat of the fact that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born there. And the books of tariq have even mentioned where you have Safa and Marwa. On one side you had the residence of Abu Jahl. You had the residence of Abu Jahl. What is noteworthy about reading the residence of Abu Jahl and why it has been marked? It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to his house hundreds of times to invite him to Islam. Hundreds of times to go and invite him to Islam. That even the muarrikhin knew that this is the location where Abu Jahl's residence was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. There is also, subhanallah, when we talk about Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the hujra and the house, there is very beautiful history to it, inshallah. If Allah wills, we will cover that next time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hareko tawfiq de. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.